You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my need. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good and perfect gift comes from the Father who I am. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another Friday Night Joy. I'm one of your hosts, Reverend Robinson. Be joining us in a little bit. This is on with Christian Speak Talk Radio. Our topic tonight is going to come on, let us therefore come boldly before the throne. I had tried to pull this up earlier and stuff like that. I found actually I was in Bible study yesterday at the Tree Life, and the Reverend Robin had taught a little bit about this. And she was coming from Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. It says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And truly, we are living in a season now, but there is definitely time of need. So we're going to dive right into that. We're going to talk about that, amen. And I know it's going to be a blessing. It was a blessing for me just to read over it and read some other scriptures. Like I said, Reverend Bob should be joining us in a little bit. Amen. So she should be joining us in a little bit. But before we do all that, I just want to remind everybody about Here's the Bound and Grace Minister Vanessa Williams. It's Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Declaring to Finish with Reverend Pat Rambis, every Thursday at 12 noon. Friday Night Joy is the first, the second, and the fourth Friday of the month at 7 p.m. The Bread of Life is the first and third Sundays at 7 p.m. Challenge to Change with Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on monthly broadcast. Swallow Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones is every first Monday. In fact, she got a broadcast coming at first on Monday. Be the first Monday of August, first Monday, first day of the month for August. Amen. The Bold and Beautiful Reverend Ovina Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin, and Minister Jordana Cunningham is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McElwain is every third Monday of the month. Marriage Takeover, the Body of Wonder, Pastors Eric and Pastor Tamika Thompson, fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk with Ray, Antonio, Tyrone, Cleopas, and Elston is every second Sunday at 7 p.m. Midday Global Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon is every Wednesday at 1 p.m. This is a free conference call number. The number is 712-770-5505. Access code is 732-499. Matters of the Heart Single Ministry, amen, is a ministry of a group of singles and everything. It's every third Friday at 7 p.m. Spiritual Nuggets of Truth is every second and fourth Monday at 8 p.m. Amen. And that's with Minister Carmen Booker. Amen. So without all that being said, let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Father, we come first today to give you thanks and to honor you, God, to glorify your name. You are worthy to be praised, God. Be glorified, be worthy your name, God, and thank you for another day, God, to be in the land that we give this broadcast to you, God. We hope that it pricks the heart of men and women, that someone would cry out, what must I do to be saved, God? We hope, God, that it be good not only for the people of God, but all those that are listening all across the world in different platforms, God. We do pray this prayer in Christ Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm trying to get situated here. Amen. So, again, I'm glad to be with you. I haven't did a live broadcast in a while. I think the last one we did was on Zoom for the singles ministry and everything. But I wanted to do this one today because I believe that it would encourage you, and it definitely would encourage me also. Amen. And like I said, we were coming out of the book of Hebrews chapter 4, we started at verses 9 through 16. And what we want to do with it, we just want to continue just to break down 16. But let me just go ahead and start reading all of Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9. Amen. It says, there remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. For he that is enter into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. He says that,
For he that enter into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our professions, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in the time of need. Let us come boldly. Amen. So, again, I'm excited about that, the idea that we should come boldly before the throne of grace, the throne of God and everything, and don't have to feel left out, or no matter what we may be fearing or going through and everything, that we know that at this time we can come boldly before the throne of God, boldly before the throne of grace and everything, that grace that was able to save us and to sanctify us, that grace of the price that was paid for at the cross, that we can obtain mercy and find grace to help, for grace to help in time of need. We got our anchor. We got someone that we can depend on. We know that we can depend on Jesus and everything. We know that we can depend on Christ. The thing that in that verse, the first thing is what I was talking with Robin earlier, is that when you got to look at the scripture, you look at it and you break it down. The first two letters, first two words is let us. I was excited about that because then I began to find scriptures that says let us. And the first scripture that I saw is it comes out of Genesis chapter 1 and 26. It says, God speaking, he said, let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And let us mean that there's a unity that's involved. Let us mean that we are of the same mind. You know, it's like the day of Pentecost, he was on the same mind, and everybody was on one accord and everything like that, you know. And there was focus, you know. It's something about a group of people when they are all focused and everything. There's things that they will be able to accomplish that under normal set on a separate they would not be able to do. Another example of that is coming out of Genesis chapter 11, verse 1 through 6. It says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass that they journeyed from the east. They found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, listen to what the people are saying together. They want a court now. They want a court. They said, go, they said to one another, go to and let us make brick. Let us, they on one accord, okay? Let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into the heaven. And let us make us a name that we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children and men built. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They have one mindset. Let us. And they have all one language. And this they began to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Nothing will be. Everything that's in their mind to do, they will begin to try to do. Even if it was impossible to reach to the where God was, they were still trying to do because they was of the one same mind. Let us. And here when Paul was talking about this, he was talking not just about himself, but he was talking about all of us. He was including, let us therefore come boldly into his throne. Come boldly. Let's read another one. That was Genesis in Numbers 13 and 30, verses 30 and 31. It says, and Caleb, this is when the children of Israel went into the, Moses sent spies into the promised land, and some came back and said that the land was full of giants, and we are like grasshopper in their mindset and everything. We're not able to take over the land because they're like giants, you know. We look like grasshopper in their mindset. So their mentality, their thought of how they looked at themselves was negative. They have forgotten or looked past the fact that God said that this was their promised land. But there was always, praise God, there's always somebody. And this is where Caleb comes in verse 30, Numbers 13 and 30 says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. He didn't sing and say, like, well, I'm going to go up or my family, he said, let us. He talked to all of the people, the 12, the other spies that came with a bad report. And then they did agree that the grapes was clustered. They were big, and there was definitely a land flowing with milk and honey and everything that God said it was going to be and stuff. But they couldn't picture coming to the land and taking over because they were giants. And they considered themselves to be grasshoppers and things like that. They forgot about the things that God had already did as a testament of who he was, that there was nothing too hard for him to do. And the fact of the matter, there was nothing too hard for him to do. But let me just read Numbers 13, verses 30 one more time. And amen. I'm not sure we'll be able to get through all of this, but we'll get through as much as we can. He said, and Caleb stirred the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. In other words, we don't want to hesitate. We're going to do it now, right now. We're not going to hesitate. We're not going to wait till tomorrow. We're not going to talk about it. But let's go up at once and possess it. Let's go take it. Let's go take it from the enemy. Let's go up and possess it. Let's claim what is ours, the promises of God, of the yea and the amen and everything that God has promised of us. And let us go up and possess it. For we are well able to overcome it. He said, but we are well able to overcome. In other words, we got everything we need to overcome it. We got God on our side. We got a God on our side that brought us out of the land of Egypt. We got God on our side that was able to slip the Red Sea, and we walked on dry ground. We got everything that we needed and everything. The sandals that we wore and everything have not become old. The clothes have not worn out and everything like that. Everything that we needed is right here for us. He says, for we are well able to overcome it. We are well able to overcome it. Don't care what it look like. Don't care whether there's giants in the land. Don't care if they look, we might look like grasshoppers. These grasshoppers right now is about to kick some serious butt. These could be some grasshoppers. They're about to kick the giant's butt, and the giants would be scared of the grasshoppers. No matter how you see it, so there is nothing too hard for God to do. He said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. They are stronger than we. This is to me, when I look at this particular verse, this was like a slap in the face to God. But here is God that's supporting them, that's leading them, that's leading them by a pillar of fire and a cloud and all these kind of things, and is able to split the Red Sea and able to do other miracles and to feed them and everything like that. And here they are talking about, but they are stronger than us. They're talking about that they are stronger than us. But I can see Caleb right now still saying to them, let us go up at once and possess it. Let us go up at once and possess it. It goes back into what we read in what was the scripture? In Hebrews in chapter 4, where he said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne. Caleb was really in a place where he was willing to come boldly into the throne of God, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the help of thee. Caleb looked at it and said that we know that our God is well able to help us, man, to help us. You know, but still the people said that they had this mind that they were stronger, amen. In Numbers chapter 14, verses 1 to 8, it says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses, against Aaron, and the whole country said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, would God we have died in the wilderness, and therefore have the Lord brought us into this land, and to fall by the sword, that our wives and children shall be prey. They're talking about the same thing that was going on in Numbers 13. And God, we had died in the wilderness, and wherefore the Lord has brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children shall be prey. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said, this is why they go to verse 4. See, this is a negative part of saying, of what let us. He said, and they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. You know, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Wait a minute, you just got out of bondage and you're using the let us not the way that God designed you to let us, like Caleb was saying, you know, but you just got out of bondage. You said that you used a negative word of let us go back to Egypt, the place of bondage, the place of slavery, the place of where the Pharaoh had his feet on your neck. Amen. Verse 5 says, then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, here we go, Joshua again, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which was of them, searched the land and rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it, it is exceedingly good land. They saw the land. They saw the same thing. You saw the same thing we did. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Let us. I see the Reverend Robin has joined on me. I'm going to give her an opportunity to say something in a minute, but I want to read. I think I got one more scripture and everything. Two more, but just read one. Amen. This is coming out of Psalms 95. Verses 1 through 11, and I'm not going to read all of them. I'm just going to read about it. And again, we're talking about let us. You know, let us, y'all. We have to get to the point that we are all included. Look, we can make it. We can do it. There is nothing too hard for we can do when God is on our side. If God has a day, that it can take place. We just got to get to a positive of the positive of letting us go to him and let us cry unto the Lord and let us come together and pray and seek his face. Let us be in unity and everything. It says, Psalms 95 verse 1 says, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. He says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with songs. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all God. Let us, in this particular song, is giving God worship. And it says to all the people to come, let us make a sing unto the Lord. It says, verse 4 says, in his hands are the deep places of the earth, and the strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he have made it, and his hands form the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. But he is our God. This is a song where they begin to recognize and begin to realize who God is and the different things that God has done or will do for us. He will help. He's our helper in the time of trouble. He will be a lawyer in a courtroom. He will be a doctor in a sick room. That's who he is. Amen. Say, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. They begin to recognize, and we should realize this, and this is who we are, and that we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. In other words, God got us in his hand. He said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is the people that do error in their heart, and they have not known my ways, and to whom I swear and my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. I don't know about you, but when I'm beginning to think about letting us, I want to be able to enter into his rest. I want to be able to know that God got it, the situation. You want to be able to do the same thing. Amen. You want to be able to do the same thing. You want to be able to do the same. Let us, therefore, come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to the help in time of need. Let us therefore come bold. Well, Reverend Robin, are you with me?
Bless God, Reverend Ray. Yes, I am. Awesome word.
Amen. Amen. Let us come before the throne of grace. Like I said, we got an opportunity to talk briefly, and we were trying to say and get notes and everything together. I said, I was listening to Reverend Robin, man. I was like, man, look, you got it. So what I'm going to do before we move any further is that I want her to go ahead and just share or talk or whatever the Lord has given her and everything like that. And just bless God, amen. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Reverend Robin?
Well, bless God, Reverend Ray. That's an awesome word. And that we can now come boldly, and we can come boldly because of all that Jesus has accomplished and done on our behalf at the throne. So we thank God for Jesus, because it's only because of him. And once we know all of who he is, then we can come boldly, because he's our covering. You know, we can, you know, put aside all of who we think we are or our shortcomings and all of that, and say, I'm coming to the throne of grace because Jesus has said that I can come. And that is all that it is. And that is all that is needed to be said. It says that, you know, and you have read it, and it says, particularly in verse 15, it says Hebrews 4:15, it says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like us, like as we are, yet without sin. You know, so therefore, you know, that if we stop and ponder and meditate on that particular verse, on verse 15, then if we meditate and know that in all points, wherever we may find ourselves, whatever we may be thinking, our shortcomings, our wrongdoings, our falls, you know, our temptations, our desires, that we know that we can come boldly before the throne because Jesus has an up close and personal understanding of where we are. And even in knowing where we are and what we're facing with and what we're dealing with, through him we can come boldly because he's covered it all. There is nothing that we can possibly bring unto him that he has not already covered. And in knowing that I am fully covered in all of my wretchedness and all of my weakness and all of my how I may feel about myself, that I don't measure up, I'm not up to par, you know, I don't speak right, I don't know all the words, I haven't read all the Bible, I don't know what everyone is talking about. But even in all of that, he says, come boldly, because I am fully in tune, I am fully in touch with any and everything you may be experiencing. And you know what? I'm covering you through it all. So you just come boldly, because my Father is not looking at you, but he's looking at me. And this is Jesus speaking. He is looking at me. He is looking at the blood that I shed for the remission of every sin you may have. He's looking at me because I am your propitiation, which literally means that I am your covering. He is looking at me because I have gone through this humanity. I've gone through all of the things that pertain to men, and I have gone and I have shed my blood, and I have walked straight through into the heavenlies, where I am now seated beside my Father, reigning. So come boldly. Come on. There is no more separation between God and you. Come boldly, because you are heirs with me. You're sitting right here with me. Come boldly. No need to look around the corner and try to peep in, but come boldly. You're welcome. And that is the blessed thing about all that Jesus has done, is that he has gone before us, and he has paved the way, and he has come until and presented himself before the Father, and he has said, you know, and this is just a paraphrase for me. This is something I think. He says, Father, I've met a brother, and I've welcomed him into our home. And the Father looks at him, and he knows all that he has done, and he knows that all of his achievements, and he knows that he has come, and he has broken down that wall of enmity, and he can says, tell them to come on in. They're at home. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank Jesus for giving us that space of grace where we can come boldly, because he has already gone before the Father and accomplished everything and fulfilled everything that would have prevented us from having to come. Amen. Bless the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Reverend Robin. And I like what you said about come boldly. In fact, one of the things I got is also coming out of Mark chapter 4, verses 35. And it says that in the same day when the evening was come, this Jesus began. He said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. So while you was talking, I was thinking about when God says let us, that you know that it's a guaranteed thing. You know, there's no that something's going to happen. You know that we should have faith and everything, and his word coming to pass. And then in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 30, I thought about this thing, because it says, Jesus speaking again, he said, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest. You shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That word come again, you know, he said, open arms, come in boldly, my open arms, my arms are stretched wide for us and everything like that. You know, we don't have to do this by ourselves. We don't have to go on this journey by ourselves. His arms are open for us. No matter where you are, no matter what your background is, no matter what color of your skin, no matter whether you're rich or you're poor and everything like that, God is saying to you, come. The word is that he's saying to you, come. But not just come in a kind of way, come boldly. Come with boldly. And Reverend Robin talked about this earlier. Said, come with authority. You know, come knowing that with confidence. That's when I looked the word up. It said, come with confidence. Come, you know, without hesitation. Don't be afraid to come boldly, but come with expectation, so to speak. Come with the expectation that you know that I'm going to do exactly what I said. Come with the expectation. Amen. And again, I just want to read the verses. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of help. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, it says, and for me, the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. Paul said, that I may open my mouth boldly, without hesitation, without restriction, without worrying about what somebody's going to say, without worrying about how they're going to look at me or how they're going to treat me. But we want to be able to speak the oracles and the mysteries of God without being handicapped, boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in bonds, that I therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. In other words, we should get to the point where we come boldly before the throne of God. We don't want to let nothing hinder us, you know. Nothing should be hindering us coming boldly to the throne of God. Nothing should be hindering us. There can always be trials and tribulation. If they try to kill Jesus, the enemy will try to do the same thing else. But yet, even in the midst of that, I'm still coming boldly before the throne of God, because I know he's the only one that can help me. He's the only one that can deliver me. He can only the one that can restore me. He's the one that can restore what the cankerworm and the locust and the grasshopper and the pomegranate has eaten. Come boldly. Another scripture is coming out of John chapter 7, verses 21 through 26. It says, and Jesus answered and said to them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the Father. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on Sabbath day, which I think I missed some parts here. Let me just skip down a little bit. Yeah, okay. All right, this is why. Let me just finish reading the whole thing. I'm almost done. All right. All right. It says, if a man on the Sabbath day received circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken. Are you angry at me because I have made a man able to withhold on the Sabbath day? All right. And then he goes on to say, judge not according to the prince, but judge righteous judgment. Then says some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? But though he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him, do the rulers indeed know? Amen. Know indeed that this is the very Christ. In other words, Jesus was speaking boldly. I read all that to come to the summary, is that he spoke boldly. You know, he told them that when they tried to get him one time for it is not my time. You know, it is not my time. And they couldn't find him. He got lost among them and stuff like that because it wasn't his time. You know, even when they tried to make him king, he got lost again and everything because it wasn't his time. You know, but in the midst of them, he continued to speak boldly. He continued to speak boldly unto them. And Hebrews, amen, he continued to speak boldly unto them, amen. So God is calling for us to come boldly unto him. He's looking for those that are willing, you know, that are searching, that have that zeal, that have that determination to come boldly unto him, you know. You know, forgetting the things of what took place yesterday, you know, becoming boldly. And in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 8, it says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember them that are in bonds and bonds with them, and them which suffer adversity and being yourself also in the body. And I want to get down to verse 5. It says, let your conversation be without covenants and be content with such things as ye have, for ye have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, here we go, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And we talked about that earlier, the Lord is my helper. He may help us, and I would not fear what man should do unto us. Being bold before him. When on the day of Pentecost, the scripture said that Peter was so filled with the Holy Ghost and stuff that he boldly spoke of it, and 5,000 men received this blessing as the Lord and Savior. It doesn't talk about how many women that were there or the children that were there, but they received Christ bold, being bold before God, being bold to the calling that's in your life, being bold in everything. And like Robin said, not worried about how you speak and everything like that. He told Moses, he said, who made your mouth? Who made your mouth? Moses said, like, I can't speak and I can't do this. And God was like, who made your mouth? But being able to open our mouths up and let him speak for us. Don't think about the words we need to say, but let God speak. Let the Holy Spirit speak for us. He said, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, consider the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today. Amen. Jesus Christ the same today and yesterday and forevermore. Come boldly. Robin, I see that you're back, and I just want to give you a chance to add to or speak on something different about coming boldly.
I'm just enjoying the word myself. It's such an encouraging word for all of us to know that just simply as the word states, he just simply says, come. I mean, when we look at Peter, when he walked on water, all Jesus says was come. You know, and he had that boldness because he kept his eyes on Jesus, not on the circumstances and not what was going on and not that it was water, but the word said, come. You know, and not only was it a word, come, but the word that became flesh and dwelt amongst men, which is Jesus, which is God, said to come. And see, and we can trust the word of God. You see, God is not going to have him get out of that boat and drown. That is not our God. If he is calling you to some place, if he's saying, come unto him, come to all who are weary and heavy laden, because my yoke can get, if he tells us that, then what we need to know is that we can come boldly because we can trust the word that he is saying, that he says his words will not return unto him void, but will go forth and accomplish everything that they're set out to do. So when we are told by this word and we believe that this word of God is true, and then, God, I am standing on your word, the same way that Peter was able to stand out in the middle of that water and began to walk, standing on the truth of the word, standing on the power of the word, standing on the substance of the word, standing on the infallibility of the word, of knowing that that word is true, and knowing that everything that God says will come to pass. It wasn't until Peter started looking around and then want to make the ocean bigger than Jesus, and then want to make the wind greater than Jesus. It is only then, when we make our problems bigger than Jesus, are our problems able to overcome us. But as long as we remember that God is bigger than any problem that we can have, we can come boldly before him and just rest. I don't know how you're going to fix it. You haven't told me what to do. I don't know what to do. So until I hear something that you say for me to do, I'm going to just be still and I'm going to rest. Don't know how it's going to end out, but I know that I am your child. I know, Jesus, that you are my brother, that you and I are heirs together, that everything that you have access to, I have access to. So I don't know when the door of access is going to open, but I know that it's there and available unto me. So until it opens, until you tell me that word upon which to move upon, I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to wait and I'm going to trust and know and believe that you said you are never going to forsake me, that I am right there in the center of where you want me to be. And so until you give me a word to move, that is where I will rest, and that is where I will not allow all of the thunderings around me, all of the words that I'm hearing, all of the diagnosis that a doctor is giving, all of what is going on at the job and what the bosses are saying, I'm not going to move upon it. I'm not going to allow those words to move me, but I'm not going to move until you give me the word to move forward. Come in boldly. Boldly before the throne, knowing that everything I need is in that throne and just waiting for the word to move. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Rob. That's awesome, especially with what you said about Peter and the word was to come. Amen. The word was to come. And I believe that God is still doing that, even though he's calling whatever your name is, he's calling you to come forth. You know, he's calling you to come forth. You know, some of us has been doing ministry for a long time, and it's become either religious or routine. But even in the midst of that, God is still calling for us to even come a little further out with him and to dwell with him and to spend some time with him. He's calling us to come forth. That we can no longer be satisfied as a status quo, the normal of Christianity or religion. They're living in the last days and everything, and men have definitely become more lovers of themselves, and every man is doing what is right in their own sight. You know, this is from the pulpit to the world and everything. And so we're living in a period of time now that God is calling us to come forward or come boldly unto him and everything. People are seeking different religions, and they're seeking different statuses and being scientific, and then there is still God said, come unto me. Jesus is still saying, come unto me, come see me. You know, the scripture says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock, and even if any man let me in, and I'm paraphrasing, I will come and sup with them. I will come and have dinner with them. I will come and have a relationship with them. That's what Christ wants to do. That's what he wants to do. We want to have that intimate relationship for us and stuff like that. But he is standing door now, but we still got to be able to come. We still got to be able to say, Lord, I'm here. You know, I'm here, Lord. do with me whatever this need to be due to change my life, that I might become the salt, light, and power that is needed. Change me, God. God is to some of us, Scripture says, many are called, but few are chosen. Jesus said that when he was praying in the garden, he was like, I have lost nothing but son, none of them that you have told God. He said, I have not lost any of them except for the son of perdition. But those that you kept, I kept in my hand. But the son of perdition coming to him, coming boldly. You know, a lot of times in a religious setting and stuff like that, we want to pick and choose who comes and who comes to Christ. If they are homeless or they don't smell good or they look a certain way, we don't want them coming to Christ. We don't even want them sitting. I'm not got this man transparent. We don't even want them sitting beside him because they don't look a certain way. And someone come with a beard there and say, face, would you be able to lead them to Christ, to Jesus Christ? Would you be able to give them the word of Christ, the knowledge of Christ, how he died on the cross and everything? Would you prevent them? Would you put them out of the church? Because they came into church and they had on very tight pants, or would you minister to them? He said that the scripture was talking about coming to me. Oh, they may be laden with everything. You don't know what their testimony. You don't know what they're going through. But we have to be willing to go into all kinds of places and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, even if it may put us in prison or in jail, or it may put us, like in Paul's case, in front of the kings, and they might decide to kill us and stuff. We got to be willing to do that. Are you willing to die for the gospel to be preached and with your relationship with Christ? Come boldly. As Robin was talking, and we are almost out of time, but I wanted to go back to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9, because one of the things that popped out to me when I was reading the scripture, there remained therefore a rest to the people of God. Therefore, there remained a rest for the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own work, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Listen, coming boldly before the throne of God, it's all faith. It's believing the things that you can't see as though they were, because God says. It's faith. It's believing in God that he got you and everything like that. That's when we have that kind of faith, there's a rest. There's a peace that passes all understanding and knowing that God got us, coming boldly before his throne. Boldly. Mother don't want to go. Father don't want to go. Sister don't want to go. Lord, I'll go. Send me. Tell me what to say. Send me, whatever the case is going on. God is looking for bold. You know, I started to say something. I've caught myself because I know I'm going to broadcast. But God, he's not looking for anyone that wants to. No, I'm not going to do it. The side that's wishy-washy. He's looking for people that may not be strong with themselves, but through him, they are made strong. Through their weakness, they are made strong in Christ Jesus. You know, he's not looking. I got the right word, Robin. He's not looking for somebody that will wimp out. You know, but he's looking for someone that even in the midst of they feel like they can't do it, but yet they're willing to do it. They're willing to say, "Yes, Lord, I do it. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know how I'm going to speak. I don't know what I'm going to say, but I believe in you. So I'm coming boldly to you," and stuff like that. And then doesn't necessarily mean that sometimes, there might be a fear involved, because there might be some fear. But even in the midst of fear, because we know God is not a God of fear, we have to recognize where that fear is coming from and still go forth in him and still believe in him. And still know that he got us, that he has us, that he won't leave us and everything. Okay? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." God knows when we come in boldly before him. He knows the intents. He knows that if we come in for any other reason or to be seen or whatever, he knows that already. There's a song, anyway, that talks about, "Lord, search me inside and out. If there be anything, I think it was a prayer or something like that, rather. But since we enter, if there be anything in me that does not please unto you, remove it, Lord Jesus. Remove it and everything. And put that, take this stone in your heart and make it flesh. That was done for us at the cross. That was done for us at the cross. Come. Let us come boldly. Let us come boldly for him. Amen and amen. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time to be. I want to probably not today because we don't have really the time to really get into it, but I want to talk about also maybe next week, maybe Sunday, depends on when Reverend Robin will be with me again. I'm putting her on the spot. But I talk about the throne of grace. Talk about the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the help in the time of need. The throne of grace. You know, we don't have time to get into a lot of details of it and everything, but to talk about those things. You know, sometimes we got to write, not sometimes, all the time we should always rightly divide the word of truth. Always rightly divide it. You see the nuggets that's in there. I've read the scripture many times, and until I heard it yesterday through Reverend Robin and Pastor Robinson, and everything, I had to go back and look at it again. Amen. I had to go back and look at it again. Reverend Robin, you got anything else?
No, just so I can say we can hasten to that throne of grace. We can hasten to it, and we can truly go in and find that place of rest. You know, even in the midst of those uncomfortable situations, if we are going and doing anything through Christ Jesus, then all is well. All is truly well because he has already done everything that was needed for us. Everything has been accomplished by him at that throne of grace. Everything. So we are just blessed, truly blessed to have him. We are truly blessed. You know, he says that the only reason that you cannot enter into his rest, and this is coming out of Hebrews 3, and I'm paraphrasing, is because of unbelief. Because if you're in a place where you're not experiencing the rest, then you need to go before God and ask him, as the disciples said, help us and help me in any area of unbelief that I have. You see, because unbelief will prevent us from running to the throne of grace. Mm-hmm. It will prevent us from being bold. You see, because when we know he is all of who he says he is, and he is not a man that he shall lie, and that everything that he speaks shall come to pass, and when you have that belief in who he is, you will go boldly to the throne of grace, knowing and expecting to receive everything that you need from him at that throne of grace, knowing that all of your frailties, all of our frailties, all of our humanity, everything has been covered by him. And that's just such a blessed thing. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know that you've already done it. And in knowing that you've already done it, I'm just going to come boldly before you, and we're just going to watch it get done. We're going to watch you transform me and renew me. We're going to watch that my strength be increased and raised, because I know that any and everything I do is not through me, but it's through you, because I am dead in Christ and you live and not I. So we can begin to profess those things of which God has said we have received through Jesus, to begin to just rehearse it unto yourself, profess it and receive it and believe it and walk boldly in it, knowing that it is Jesus and Jesus alone. It's in Christ Jesus that I am who I am, and we just thank God for that. Enter into his rest. Increase your belief. move beyond a head knowledge of Jesus and move into a place of belief, because we can have a knowing of what Jesus is supposed to do, but do you have a belief system set up within yourself that's unshakable, unmovable, that you are confident? Because if we look at Hebrews 4, the scripture before that, and I'm going to turn back to it really quickly in Ephesians 4, you know, it says that if we go up, hold on one second, let me get it for you. It tells us that we can come boldly, because we can have the confidence, you know, in who he is. And if we have that confidence, that's that belief. And also, if we have all of that confidence in who he is, then we can go ahead. I want to pull that scripture for you. We can go ahead and do all the things in which we are asking of, you know, Jesus to help us with, because of our moving boldly in who he is, you know, in a confidence in who he is. Then we can go and we can do all things through him. As Reverend Ray was saying, you know, that wherever you tell me to go, I can go, because I know I'm not going in my own strength, but I am going in you. I am going believing in what you're saying. So I know that it can be done, and it will be done. And we can just be so thankful for that, you know. And if it says here, and I'm going to give you the scripture here, okay. And I'm going to look at Hebrews 3:14. It says, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. If we can just hold on to our confidence and know that we are, you know, and Reverend Ray has read it, you know, that we harden not our hearts, that we not take the things of the world and we put them above Jesus, because there is nothing above Jesus. There is nothing that is occurring that is above Jesus. So we just bless God, because he is our all in all. He is our total sufficiency in all things. It is in Jesus in whom we live, move, and have our being. So we just thank Jesus. We just thank God for him, because he is our awesome, mighty Savior. He is our Redeemer. He is the one who has reconciled us back unto God. No one but Jesus could have done it, and he's done it for both you and for me, so that we can come boldly, and we can come not only boldly, but in a confidence that everything that he has accomplished is accomplished and sealed. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Reverend. Amen. So again, y'all, you've been listening to Christian Speak Talk Radio. This has been Friday Night Joy. Our host has been Reverend Ray and Robin. And she has joined us, and we come from the scripture. And that Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. That we may find grace to help in the time of need. Grace is there to help us in our time of need. Amen. So we don't have that much time. I am going to go ahead and ask Reverend Robert to close us out in prayer and everything. And don't forget our upcoming broadcast. Monday is the present Monday of August, so Apostle Shirley will be with us at 7 p.m. Reverend Robin.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Father, we thank you, Father. We just bless your holy name, Lord God. Father, we come and we acknowledge you. We acknowledge you as being sovereign. We acknowledge you as being true. Father, we acknowledge that you are a sound foundation for us to stand on. So, Father, we come and we thank you, Lord God, for the joy of who you are, Lord, that we don't have to look at ourselves, Lord God, but we can look totally beyond us, and we can see Jesus as our covering, just as you do, Lord God. And knowing, Lord God, that he is our covering, that all things have been achieved and taken care of him. So, Father, we just walk boldly in this world. We walk in rest in this world, trusting and believing, Lord God, that everything, Lord God, will work out for our good, Lord God, and that anything that you will put us to or call us to it or tell us to come, Lord God, that it will be well. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God. Father, I pray for all who are listening at this time, Lord God, that wherever they may find themselves or situations they may find themselves, if they would just look towards the hill as we must do, look towards the hill from which cometh our help, and knowing that our help cometh from you, that, Father, that there is nothing occurring that you are not aware of, Lord God. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that even while we're in the midst, Lord God, of situations that are not pleasant, situations that we cannot see where it can be to our good, and situations, Lord God, that are truly being to our detriment and to our harm, Lord God, we can look unto you and say, but God, we can look unto you, Lord God, and say, Father, we trust you to move on this situation, Lord God. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you are a healer, Lord God, that you are a deliverer, Lord God, that you are a mind regulator, Lord God, and in being such a great mind regulator, that even when you do not move us out of situations that we don't want to remain in, Father, we trust, Lord God, that you would shield and buffer our mind, that you would even shield our bodies and buffer our bodies, Lord God, that we will not, Lord God, come out of those fiery situations with even the stench of smoke upon us, Lord God, because you have been our covering, that we will not come out, Lord God, in a fetal position, Lord God, or pulling out our hairs, Lord God, because you have been a mind regulator while you were working in the situation. So, Father, I thank you, Lord God. I thank you that you can come in and solve a problem in ways in which we don't even think, Lord, that, Father, that you can, while we're in the midst, Lord God, do a mighty work in our lives and use us for a mighty work. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God. Father, we give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory, Lord God. Father, we lift up this entire world, Lord God. Father, we lift up all the signs of the times that we see going on, the wars, the rumors of wars, Lord God, all of the disobedience, Lord God, all of those things, Lord God, that you find to be abominable, Lord God. Father, we just come and we ask, Lord God, as a body of mankind, Lord God, we ask that you would just forgive us, Lord. Father, we ask, Lord God, that you would continually work upon our hearts, Lord God, to continue softening our hearts, Lord God, that, Father, we may be able to see ourselves, Lord God, and turn away from those wicked things, Lord God, that you see, Lord God, and that the earth is crying out unto you for, Lord God. So, Father, we just repent, Lord God. We ask that you would strengthen and help us, Lord God, to move beyond all things that are unpleasing unto you, that we will have the mind of Christ, and we will seek out doing and accomplishing the minds of Christ, Lord God, that we will, Lord God, begin to turn away from those things that are displeasing unto you, because you've come and renewed our mind, and you've enlightened us, Lord God. You've taken scales off, Lord God, that we now see them as you see them, Lord God. So, Father, continue, Lord God, just to pull us and draw us nigh unto you, that we may be vessels of honor unto you, that we may be vessels that you can use to cry out to this dying world that is being destroyed, to tell them of a safe place, a safe haven to turn to, Lord God, that there is someone who cares and there's someone who loves, Lord God. Father, give us our voice where we feel we don't have a voice, Lord God. So, Father, we thank you. We honor you. We magnify you on this night, Lord God, at this night, on Friday night, for Friday night joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength, Lord God. Father, we pray for all of those who are seeking more information, who wants to find more out about this, God, that you would send godly counsel their way, Lord God, that they too may walk in the liberty, in the freedom, in the peace, and the rest that you so desiringly and so overwhelmingly give out unto those who are your children, whom you've called and whom you've elected, Lord God, because you've sent your son, because you wanted none to perish, but all to have eternal life. So, Father, for any that you're tugging on a heart on, any strings that are being tugged, send godly counsel, Lord God, and walk them through into the plan of salvation, that they may be one with you and walk in that peace and liberty in which only can be received in you. In Christ Jesus' name I do pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, everyone. I want to thank you for listening to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. This is just a reminder. Here's Abounding Grace with Minister Vanessa Williams. It's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Declaring the Finished Work with Pastor Pat Randall is every Thursday at 12 noon. Friday Night Joy with Pastor Ray is the first, the second, and the fourth Fridays at 7 p.m. The Bread of Life with Pastor Ray is the first and the third Sundays at 7 p.m. Challenge to Change with Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Our monthly broadcasts are as follows. Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones is every first Monday at 7 p.m. The Bold and the Beautiful with Reverend Noreena Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin, and Minister Jordana Cunningham is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. Adoration with Evangelist Louis McEwen is every third Monday of the month at 7 p.m. Marriage Takeover, The Body of One with Pastor Eric and Pastor Tamika Thompson is every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk with Ray Rose, Antonio Mitchell, Tyrone Rose, Cleophas Malone, and Esther Green is every second Sunday at 7 p.m. Our weekly prayer is called Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon. It's every Wednesday at 1 p.m. This is a free conference call number. The number is 712-770-5505. The SS code is 732-499. Amen. Also, I want to remind you of Matters of the Heart Singles Ministry broadcast. We broadcast every third Friday at 7 p.m. Our hosts are Renee Malone, Ray Rose, Hope Williams, Robert Waring, Maggie Wilson, and Felicia Shears. We're excited about this group of people, our singers coming together and speak and say what thus says the Lord. We also have the more newest broadcast called Spiritual Nuggets of Truth, and they're going to air on the second and the fourth Monday of the month at 8 p.m. is led by Minister Carmen A. Booker. And we appreciate her coming on and being new to the family. Amen. We want to encourage you to go and check out our website of When Christians Speak Talk Radio. And on that you can find a little bit more about the different hosts and a little bit more about what we got going on, some of the previous broadcasts and platforms that you use. Also, you will be able, if you would like to sow a seed or a donation into the ministry, you can do that now by clicking on Donate Now. I thank you for your time, and again, I thank you for listening to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. God bless you.